You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the podcast network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome to episode 54 of the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, January 14th, 2009. I am Martin Spriggs.
And I'm Sally Draper.
And we're your hosts for a regular conversation, weekly conversation, that is, about technology and ministry. And we're glad that you joined us once again. Good morning, Sally.
Hi, Martin. I have to ask you the question of the day.
Uh-oh.
Are you staying warm?
Well, I think it's going to get to double digits today, but just barely. And then the rest of the week, we're not going to see it. So that's just kind of a...
Yeah, we're in double digits.
Is that right?
Yeah, negative double digits. We've warmed up from minus 20 to minus 17 at this point. So feeling a little bit chilly here in Minnesota today.
Well, that's just the hand we're dealt. So what are you going to do? Yeah, so good thing we're indoors. If anybody didn't know, we do broadcast this from indoors. So all right. Well, I was out and about this morning. This week I've been teaching a course at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary on productivity called Mind Like Water, The Art of Productivity. This is something that I've used over the past couple of years, and now I'm kind of taking that on the road, and we've got 11 students in the class in what's called Winterim, at a fitting title these days, at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, and students there eager to learn how to be more productive. Interesting class, because a lot of them haven't had a taste of ministry yet. A couple of them have been out in vicar year, but most of them are juniors or middlers, and for those that aren't familiar with the seminary classification, a junior is a first-year student, middler is a second-year student, and then vicar is the third year, and then they come back for their senior year. So we've got a mix, and we actually have one pastor in there, too, since Winterim was opened up to local pastors as well. So it's been a great class so far, and I thought maybe that it would be a great time to talk about productivity once again on the show, based on some of the things that we've been going through in the class. We've talked about productivity a number of times and some of the tools, and actually many of the recommendations that Sally and I make are about productivity tools. There's a couple favorite sites that we both have and we go back to, and we're going to share a few of those today as well. But let's just talk a little bit about productivity in general. And I had a chance to interview, we thought that would be a good idea, to interview some of the students yesterday in class and ask them a couple basic questions. So we're going to play for you an interview we did, or I did, at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary yesterday morning, asking two questions. First question was, why such problems being productive? And I think maybe most of our listeners can relate to that question, too. Let's hear what seminary students said. Alex, we can start with you and your thoughts on why is it so hard to be productive?
Well, I know coming into middler year, we always are told how difficult it's going to be and that you really need to plan ahead for what's going on. And they weren't lying at all. The first day of classes, we got giant stacks of papers and everything, and we got all our different classes, we got laid out, all the projects we had. And for me, it was just a struggle at first to see all that stuff and not panic and decide really when am I going to attack things, in what order, and how I'm going to go about doing everything. And then it kind of cluttered up then trying to figure out those things out. So
you haven't figured that out yet? Are you still working on that?
Still working on it. I got through the semester, but it was a struggle at points. So
yeah, and you really never know what you're dealing with until you're dealing with it, and you know, things come at you, and that's the way life is too. So Ben, let's go to you. How about your thoughts on why is it so hard to be productive? Now, you're a senior at the seminary, right? So you've been through vicar year.
Yeah, you realize quickly that in the ministry there's a lot to do, a lot to get done, and it's easy to get caught up in the details, I think. You want to do an excellent job. You want to do the best for God's people, and sometimes you can get caught up in that as an end in itself, and then that leads to just the stacks, the piles on your desk that never get done, and you lose them if you're not organized and you have some sort of system that can help you do that.
So you're really just you're getting things done, but you're just getting random things done. You know, and you wake up the next morning and you got some of the same big priority types of items still there. Yeah. Okay. Lincoln, how about yourself? What are you facing with as far as productivity challenges?
I guess my personal biggest frustration is setting a time goal to get something done, and it either takes a lot longer than I thought, or I don't have what I need to get it done. So I spend so much time setting up a system where I think it's going to be faster if I ever have to do this again, and it ends up taking more time the first time, and I never return to do it again anyway. So
you're spending a lot of time on process and not enough time on just doing it, right?
Yep.
Okay. And Martin, you are you've been out in the ministry for 18 years now, so you've kind of seen what the church office is and isn't, and some of the challenges there. What are you facing?
I appreciate what Ben said, that you strive for excellence, but if you spent 25 hours and 30 hours on a Bible class and sermon, you wouldn't get anything else done during the week. And how do you divide that up? So doing your best and getting everything else done as well. And the frustrating part about the ministry is when you're a student, you do reach a point at the end of the semester where things are done. In the ministry, you're never done. There's always an extra prospect or inactive member you can visit. And how do you divide that out and prioritize that becomes difficult.
Sally, bring back any memories. You're married to a past second-year pastor now. Anything ring true there?
Yeah, I think it's. I think listening to those young voices really makes you appreciate our seminary and the training that they are receiving there. Kind of a side topic, but those guys are dealing with productivity issues, even though they aren't out in the full-time ministry yet, and they do a really good job of preparing them for that. That crazy life of a pastor when the work is just never done, just like the last guy had to say. You know, it is a challenge for pastors, and I'm sure many of our pastors who are listening can relate to all of those things. You know, those years at SIM when they were snowed under with a lot of work and a lot of deadlines, and now those years in that full-time ministry where the work just never ends.
A lot of people don't realize that our seminary students, for the most part, all of them have afternoon or evening jobs. Many of them work in local congregations. Many of them have families and kids. Plus, they're a full-time student. So, man, that's a lot of stuff to juggle. And productivity, you know, has to be managed on all of those levels.
Yeah, so it's important that they're getting a grip on it now, that they're spending time in things like this class, that the seminary sees that as a need to prepare them to be productive as pastors.
Mm-hmm. One interesting study we did, I asked each of the students to kind of rank or give a percentage to the amount of time they spent in three different categories. The first category was in planned activities. The second category was in reacting to work that comes at you from other sources, so in the moment kinds of things. And the last category was in planning, so planning the work. Maybe you could guess what the biggest category was. This is probably symptomatic of a lot of pastors' offices or principals' offices or teachers' offices or anybody, really. That middle category of just reacting to life that comes at you is the absolute biggest problem. It's also the biggest obstacle to being productive because none of that stuff is planned. Maybe none of it is even a priority where you've set up some goals and you've kind of identified what you really want to be spending time on and what's important to you. You never get to that stuff. So I think one of the students there, and I think this is probably typical, said about 85%. Of his time is spent just reacting to things that come his way on a day-to-day basis. You know, 10% spent in planned activities, which is really where the good stuff gets done and you make progress against particular goals. The object of any productivity system is to flip that over, where you're spending more time on those planned activities, those things that you've prioritized and said this is important to be doing, and less time on the reactionary stuff. That's hard. It's hard to do.
That's very hard. I think that proactive work and planning really comes into play, and also just a lot of discipline, commitment to a system and seeing it through. And that's difficult when people are knocking on your door and the phone is ringing constantly for various reasons in the pastoral and teaching ministry.
Yeah. And I don't even know if it depends on the size of the congregation or the school. This stuff just happens, and especially now when we're all so accessible. Almost all of us have cell phones, we have email. People are expecting, you know, that we respond in a very speedy fashion because we make ourselves available, and that just kind of compounds the problem. I did ask the big why question of the four interviewees that agreed to talk with me about why is it important to them? Why did they feel it was a proper use of time to join the class? And second, why is it important to be productive? Let's hear what they said.
Let's take maybe even one step back, and probably the fundamental question and one of the reasons that you guys are in the course, I assume, is really answering the question, why is it important to be productive? Maybe the answer is obvious. Maybe it's a little bit different for everybody. But let's go back around the circle and ask that same question. You know, what's so important about being productive?
Well, for me, I know going to Vicar Year next year, I know that it's going to be busy as well. But instead of just being responsible to myself, I'm responsible to my bishop and the congregation that I have there. And I want to make sure that I'm not falling behind and causing their congregation problems with my inability to get things done and be productive in that sense.
Okay, great. Ben, how about you?
Well, I think that importance is the desired outcome, kind of the big picture, and that there are souls at stake here, both my own and then the people that I'm serving and the people I seek to serve, and to use everything that God has given to his glory. I think those factors really weigh in this in a huge way, and we can't lose sight of those.
Lincoln, what do you think?
I guess you're really looking to serve souls, like Ben was saying, but you really don't have that moment where you say, okay, this sheep is taken care of. You know, you still have to continue to work with them and encourage them so they can grow in their faith, and your work's never done, and you can't say, you know, can't stamp that and say finished.
Great. And Martin, how about you?
Good things, yes, because the fields are ripe unto harvest. And that's what I was thinking all along, but then it just escaped me. The fields are ripe unto harvest, and there's wonderful opportunities the Lord has placed before us. And for his sake, we want to make the best of those opportunities.
As we talked about in class today, living out the gospel, just the whole concept of stewardship is really, I think, what it's all about, and figuring out what God wants us to do and do it with excellence as he wants us to do it. So, great. Thank you for your time, guys.
Good stuff again, Sally. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. I'm just thinking, man, first of all, we're just really blessed to be having these guys study for the ministry. That's just incredible to hear their voices and hear their desire to serve in that way, and, you know, taking this productivity very seriously for very good reasons. And then just kind of a flip side to what I'm hearing from them, I know the focus is on ministry, but the fact that pastors and teachers need to be productive in order to have a good balance, balancing their ministry with their personal lives as well.
Right.
Because if they aren't balanced, they're going to be burned out and their family is going to suffer. So, you know, yes, obviously that work is very high priority, but also, you know, having a balance and being able to have that mind like water so that you can have that comfort level that things are being taken care of. They're not going to be forgotten or fall through the cracks, and you can relax and enjoy your family time as well.
Yeah, that comment about souls at stake is really important from a couple of different dimensions. One, obviously, is they have a flock, or they have a classroom full of students to feed and to nurture and to share God's word with. But they also have those souls at home. They have a spouse, and they have children, and they have family that, you know, need as much or more attention as well, and a responsibility to them. And that's all about being productive, too, and using your time wisely and being a good steward. And it's really all about stewardship.
Absolutely. So I assume that when they finish this class this week, Martin, you're going to have whipped them into shape, and they're going to be, experts at productivity.
Yeah, right. I mentioned to you before we started that when I teach a class on productivity, my productivity during the week is like at zero. So it's I'm not practicing what I preach all the time either. I think it's a challenging thing, and they're going to have to kind of find their own level and figure out what works for them. Any kind of system that I teach, and I teach the getting things done system for the most part with a couple of tweaks, is what I start with, but any variation of that, just an intentionalized process of saying, I need to systematically approach what I'm doing to get the most out of what I'm doing, is really hopefully what they'll take away with them. The rest of the week, today we talked about getting your inbox to zero, so it is possible to get your email inbox down to nothing every day. Not that it's all done or taken care of, but it's filed away in an appropriate system, a trusted system that you can go back to and follow up on. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about the ability to, and we've talked about this on the show before, cloud computing, the ability to use online resources. You know, is it possible to have the paperless church office? And then on Thursday, I think we're going to focus mostly on the internet and using search tools and doing research on the internet and how powerful that can be, but also how dangerous that can be to productivity. So, you know, just kind of navigating the internet. And then finally, the capstone course, or the capstone session, the last one, is all about communicating and accountability. How, if you can be as productive as you want to be, but if those around you who you rely on are not, you have some serious issues. So, trying to get others to be as productive as you. And that's an important thing, both, I think, for pastors and teachers, is figuring out how to delegate and how to build a team that's going to help you. So lots of fun stuff.
Very good. We'd love to hear more about it. Maybe next week you can give us a quick update on how the rest of the week went.
Yeah, absolutely. Just wanted to remind everybody, we stumbled across this, Sally, you did, last week. There is a Facebook group called, what is it called, GTD group?
I think it is, Getting Things Done.
Yep, uh-huh. Getting Things Done. So an entire Facebook group around productivity and this particular system or approach, which I use. And we'll put a link to that in the show notes. But great resources there. There's, a code to get a discount on the book, Getting Things Done by David Allen, and all kinds of great discussion going on there, resources, links, et cetera, et cetera. So if you're interested in kind of learning and boning up a little bit about more about productivity, that would be maybe a good place to start. Well, I will also make available my presentations that I gave. These are all they're actually slide rocket PowerPoints. Like, PowerPoint's the wrong word to use because it's a Web 2.0 PowerPoint replacement, but it's all online and we can make those available to you if you'd like to check them out. So go to the website. We've got a special interview today, Sally. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this, Martin. Last week we had visitors here at St. John's and Sleepy Eye. We had missionary Mike Hartman, his wife and daughters, who came to tell us about their work in the mission field in Torreon, Mexico. And I saw the opportunity to also talk to them for a few minutes about the technology that they're using in the mission field. Missionary Hartman's wife is Rachel Hartman, and she is a regular blogger, and she's going to tell us a little bit during the interview about the blog that she maintains, and we'll have links in the show notes to that, maybe talk a little bit more after we listen to our interview.
Awesome.
Joining us today are missionary Mike Hartman and his wife Rachel, currently serving in Torreon, Mexico, I believe.
That's correct.
And we're going to spend a few minutes just visiting with them and learning a little bit about their mission work. We've also got their beautiful girls with us today, so maybe we'll hear from them as well. That should be fun. So maybe, missionary Hartman, you could start by just telling us a little bit about what it is that you do and where you're located and that kind of thing in Mexico.
Well, the mission to Mexico consists of about 16 different congregations and missions scattered throughout the country. We live in the city of Torreon, which if you went straight south of El Paso, Texas for about 10 hours, you'd get to the city of Torreon. It's a city about the size of Milwaukee, and my responsibilities there kind of divide up into three parts. I spend some of my time working at one of the local missions in Torreon, and I spend some of my time also teaching at the seminary, the Mexican seminaries in Torreon. We have four guys studying at the seminary there. And then the third part is I serve as field coordinator to Mexico, which means I'm kind of the one that helps coordinate the work with Wells, with the work with the Mexican Lutheran Church in Mexico, and the go-between. So that's kind of what I do in Mexico.
Very good. We got fortunate enough to have you guys visit our church and school here in Sleepy Eye today. Must be on a furlough.
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. We're currently on a 2-month furlough. We've been in New Ulm for about a month, and we'll be in Milwaukee for another month, okay, and then go back. So we're about in the middle of it right now and are starting to really feel relaxed. It's good to take furlough. We take it about every 2 years.
And usually time it with the snow, or?
No, this is the first time. This is the first time, and I really wanted a white Christmas. So I got my white Christmas. I'm very happy about that. But
definitely.
I think I kind of forgot about what the temperatures really would be like up here.
A little bit different,
cold,
huh?
Yep.
All right. Well, we feel very fortunate to have you here. Just got done with a chapel service for our children here at our school. And so how much of that traveling and presentations do you do during your furlough time?
We take about 2 weeks where we really do a lot of presentations. Okay. Try to get a presentation in every day for about 2 weeks, and then I give one or two others scattered throughout. But we enjoy it. For us, it's something that's really encouraging, getting to see other churches and getting to see so many other Christians and Lutherans. So it's a real uplifting experience for us.
Very good. Well, our Wells Tech podcast certainly focuses on technology and ministry, so I wanted to ask you both about different ways that you might be using technology in the ministry, the mission work that you're doing there in Mexico.
Well, on a personal level, we feel extremely blessed to have the technology at our fingertips like we do. We have things like email and the internet, which is just great. We also use Skype quite a bit with webcams so that grandparents and uncles can see our two little girls, and we can keep in touch with family and friends that way. We have a Vonage phone, which is a phone line through the internet, and then we have a Chicago number.
Oh, cool.
So anybody who wants to call us doesn't have to call Mexico, they can call Chicago. Work-wise, my husband uses technology, but geared toward the Mexican field. Mexico doesn't have as many resources and is a bit behind the U.S. technology-wise. So they have things like computers, and they just got internet at their seminary. But everything he uses, he wants to make sure that the Mexican church can keep it going, you know, can afford it and work with it. So I think they're just starting to do... to look into online courses for some of the seminary students in Mexico. And that's probably about the limit with that.
Okay, so. Very exciting. So maybe there are some connections there with the SIM, the worldwide SIM efforts and things, or they're being developed. It's really limited by the countries.
Well, we are developing, we're working to get some online classes and courses going through the seminary, and that's being done more through the LATE missionaries, the Latin American traveling missionary team.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones that are really overseeing that, but that is something that we're hoping to work into our classes in Mexico.
Very exciting. You know, technology is changing every day, so who knows, if we sit down again a year from now, it'd probably be a different story. But I know it is based on the country's, you know, abilities, and some countries are more tech-savvy or more advanced in that way. It's great that you have high-speed internet access.
I don't know that, but yes, we have very good internet access.
Good, think, so. Very good. And I understand you and Rachel do a bit of blogging as well.
Right. We keep a blog. We have a website that's lutheransinmexico.com, and it's basically a blog that I update once or twice a week. And I use it as a way to put news about life and work in Mexico. since we just had two girls in 2 years, so they make the blog a lot where I talk about life. But then I also am always sure to include things about what's going on at work. So any schools that are interested in knowing about it, congregations, ladies groups, it's really geared toward that, or anybody really who wants to know what's going on. And we usually say anybody can take that information and put it anywhere. It's just a way to get the word out and to stay connected. I also write those same posts at missions.wells.net, the World Missions blog, and then you can see what's going on in Mexico with everything else that's going on in World Missions, too.
Oh, that's so exciting. Thank you for taking the time to do that. I'm a fan. I've been reading your blog for a year, I think. I've had my subscription up to your blog, so I'm always excited. It's neat to see your girls in person, that kind of thing. So.
I'm so glad to hear that. I love doing it. Like I said, it's a way that we can keep in touch and get the word out. And, it's really fun for me to do.
Stay connected. Very good. Well, we look forward to hearing more about your life and your mission work in Mexico. Thank you both for taking the time to sit down with me today and tell us a bit about it. And Trinity's telling us bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Adios.
Oh,
thanks for having us.
All right.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Sally, it was neat to hear the passion that with which they both spoke, and it's neat to have people like that in foreign mission fields who are excited to be there. Obviously, they're excited to come home once in a while, but you can tell they have a heart for mission work and very personable people.
Right, and I'm just so excited to get the chance to meet Rachel. For those of you that enjoy RSS, or really simple syndication, where you can easily subscribe to blogs and read updates, you may be interested in subscribing to Rachel's blog, LutheransInMexico.com. We'll have a link in the show notes. I've been reading her blog for a little over a year, and I felt like she was my long-distance friend, and I was very in touch with the work that they were doing there and how it affects their lives, as a mission family, not just the mission work, but also the family life as well. So just a real neat opportunity for me to get to meet them face-to-face.
So you had never met before?
No, really? I just had been a fan of the blog, so very cool stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome. In a presentation I did for the World Mission Board, I quoted a statistic that I think in 10 years, a majority of the people we know we will have never met face-to-face. They will be virtual or online acquaintances. And this is just a great example. Now, you had a chance to actually meet her. But I can think of a number of people who we've now interacted with on this podcast that we've never met face-to-face. And I think that's definitely going to grow. And that's good and bad. But I think there's something neat about hooking up with people that are halfway across the world and are doing different things. Very cool.
Very cool, yes.
Picks of the week. Sally, what is your pick this week?
Well, for those of you that like nice shiny gadgets in your pocket or on
and
your desktop.
And who doesn't? You're obviously listening to this podcast.
That's right. This past week was the International Consumer Electronics Show held in Las Vegas each year. This is basically where many of the major electronics companies roll out their new products that are going to be debuting in 2009. And over the past 20 or 30 years they've been doing this, and they've rolled out things here like camcorders and VCRs and compact disc players and plasma TVs. All of that got its debut at this Consumer Electronics Show. So when I saw an article pop up with some top picks from the CES, I just had to feature that as my pick of the week. So I'm going to include a link in the show notes. It's actually from the CNN website, where they've highlighted 7 or 8 really interesting items that were rolled out at the Consumer Electronics Show last weekend. And 2 of my very favorites are the iRiver Wave home networking device. kind of an odd little thing, but basically it looks a lot like these new digital photo frames that are out on the market, but it does a lot more than just provide a digital photo frame. It includes video playing, telephone, music player, stereo, clock, and even some laptop functions in this small photo frame looking device, and all of that for less than $400. So our desktops are going to get a lot less cluttered with these small devices that are able to do multiple functions. Very exciting move into the future. And the other one that I thought was really exciting was the Polaroid Instant Digital Camera. So recently Polaroid announced that they were no longer going to make instant film for the old instant cameras that used to be in existence. But now they've come up with a digital camera that has a built-in thermal printer. So you can get 2-inch by 3-inch prints anywhere instantly. And this is due to come out in March. It will cost $199 or less. And a 10-pack of the paper for printing will be about $5.
Wow.
So really exciting innovations from Polaroid as well.
Yeah, cool. Sally, what's a VCR?
Actually, I know, sadly, because
I know.
We have to use it to record our television feed.
Oh, is that
for
right?
The local cable channel. They don't have
not digital,
DVD
huh?
players.
Wow.
So we actually still use those cassettes. That's kind of a strange thing,
yeah.
But yeah.
CES is an interesting show. You see all kinds of stuff out there that are none of them available immediately, but would be available this year probably. And boy, you could go crazy there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big party in Las Vegas. My pick is pretty basic. As I've mentioned, I've been doing a class up at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary. I'm actually doing a number of presentations this week and next. One on internet safety tomorrow night up in Oshkosh. And for all of these, I'm using a product called SlideRocket, which is an online presentation package. That's not my pick. One thing that I've been doing, though, with, and you'll see this if you visit any of the slide presentations that I've done, is use a lot of images to kind of add visual interest and theme a slide so that it's not just the typical PowerPoint bullets. It's got some image that is attached to the concept that I'm speaking about. And I was just thinking, like 10 years ago even, maybe even less, 5 years ago, it was such a struggle to find good pictures that you could put in any kind of presentation. You had to subscribe to stock photography sites, and even then, you know, they weren't that great, or clip art, et cetera, et cetera. Now with the web and kind of how it's been indexing itself along through all the images that are out there, almost everything's at your – you can't – not find a photo that you're really looking for, something very close to it. And I just went on Google. And Google, you may, obviously many people are familiar with how to search regular web pages on Google, but you may not know that there is an image link at the top right next to the web link where you could search just pictures. And if you go into advanced search, you can even say what kind of pictures you're looking for by color, by file type, whether you're just looking for JPEGs, GIFs, bitmaps, et cetera, et cetera. You can look for, let's see, I'm just looking here, what size, only return small, medium, large, extra large. You can do a search on faces, just do clip art, et cetera, et cetera. So it's categorized all this stuff for you, and it's really easy to find this stuff. Now, there's a lot of junk out there that doesn't make any sense for you to use, so you have to kind of be smart about your search terms, but there are good, helpful hints around the internet as well. One of them that I've used in the past that I'll put a link to in the show notes is from a blog called HubSpot, and they have the 12 quick tips to search Google like an expert. So there's things like explicit phrase, so putting quote marks around your search so that you only find those words, or excluding words. You put a dash and then the word that you don't want to find in that search. You can search just specific sites. You can search for similar words and synonyms with a tilde. Not a tilde. What is that? The symbol above the tilde, whatever that is, Sally. You're the math expert, right?
No, I'm drawing a blank.
It's a squiggly line.
There you go.
Upper left of your keyboard. That does a similar word and synonym search. All kinds of great tools here. The OR, you can do phone listings, area code, number ranges, blah, blah, blah. All kinds of stuff here. We'll put the link there. But, you know, basic pick, but I think a powerful one, especially if you do presentations. I would really encourage you to use imagery. A picture is worth 1,000 words, and that's one rule of thumb. And if you've ever read Death by PowerPoint and things like it, they will really emphasize keep the words to a minimum, focus on the imagery, and then talk. And I think that's the most powerful presentation. So that is my pick of the week.
You know, Martin, as I heard you describe all those different nuances of the search criteria, it reminded me of an article I was reading this week from Clay Shirky, and he was talking about how the ability to filter has become the most important resource that we have, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we can say that the world is on information overload, but not if we know those kind of tricks and things that you're describing to be able to get to the information specifically that we're looking for. So very good tips for us.
What are we looking at in the Wells world? Anything coming up we want to share with our listeners that they don't want to miss?
You bet. I wanted to mention today the Wells Marriage Retreats, which are going full force this January and February especially. These are sponsored by the Office of Adult Discipleship, and they happen all over the country. So if you are looking for a weekend getaway with your spouse, this may be the opportunity for you, and you can check out the full schedule and registration information at wellsmarriageretreat.org. And that was my doorbell.
Very good.
Sorry.
That's okay. Do you need to get that?
No, I think we're good.
Okay. Community feedback. Who's talking to us this week, this past week?
Well, we had quite a few people talking to us. It's really exciting to get all this feedback. First of all, we heard from Dan Smith, who's at Holy Trinity in Des Moines, Washington. And he's using the Google Calendar, but was looking for a solution to obtain a better printout because the Google Calendar tends to truncate things when they're longer than one line of display on the calendar. Mm-hmm. I pointed him back to some of our previous episodes, and I'll include links to that in the show notes, where I talked about using Thunderbird Lightning and provider for Google Calendar to achieve a better print result from the Google Calendar. So check out the show notes for those links if you're looking to print the Google Calendar.
Great.
We also heard from John Shoesmith, one of our regular contributors from Redeemer in Yakima, Washington. We actually talked a little bit about a comment from John last week where he asked for details on the copyright associated with the NIV Bible. And John wrote to us and thanked us for the information we provided and suggested that we add the information to the Wells Tech Wiki, which is just a perfect way for us to remind
nice
our
segue.
Listeners. Yeah, of the fact that we do have a wiki and would really like to improve the wiki over the course of this year. So I think John's suggestion is a great one, and we'll find a place in the wiki to post some of that information about NIV copyright, maybe find some links to more information on the web, and hopefully be able to include that link in the show notes as well.
Very good. Thank you, John.
Yeah. The next one really was a kick for me. It was from a listener named Linda Travis, who does early childhood ministry. And she was listening to our last show and was interested in more details about adding RSS to her church website. So I was able to point Linda to the Wells information page about RSS at wells.net/jump/RSS. And just as a side note, Linda wrote to let me know that she grew up here in Sleepy Eye and was baptized and confirmed at St. John's as well as attended school here. So
is that right?
what a great tie.
Another Sleepy Eye or whatever, however you pronounce your where
that?
You're from.
They're out there.
Very good.
All right, moving on, we had a question from the webmaster at Good Shepherd in Wisconsin Rapids about more details on the Synod camera system. This, again, is something that we have out on the Wells Tech Wiki. We use a Sony EVI D7D camera. Actually, a couple of them, Martin. Maybe you can fill us in a little bit more about the system that we use there.
Yeah, we use those for live web streaming. Any of you that have watched call service or graduation or the choral fest that we did, et cetera, some of the concerts we've done, We actually use three cameras. They're very small. They mount on tripods. We position them at three different locations within the room or the facility that we're in. And they're all connected in two different ways. They all are connected through an S-video cable back to what we call a TriCaster by NewTek. If you go to newtek.com, you can read all about TriCasters. But basically, it's a little production studio in a box. It's a dedicated computer with lots of audio and video inputs and outputs. So they all have to feed back into that for video, but they're all linked to each other via daisy chain through what's called a VSCA, which is just really a serial cable for remote control. So we don't have to have people at the cameras manually moving the cameras around to track the action. We have all of those coming back into a console that has a little joystick, and you can pick which camera you want to control, and it can zoom in and out, up, down, you know, pan, tilt, zoom, all of that stuff, all remotely. And I think this particular listener was asking about how to do that if you don't have a TriCaster. They were talking about VidBlaster, which we've talked about in the past, which is kind of a software solution to the TriCaster. The TriCaster can be quite spendy. It ranges between $5,000 and $10,000. I think it can even go higher. A lot of congregations can't afford that, but VidBlaster works on a computer. It's a piece of software. The hard part about using that, it's a switcher, so it'll switch from camera to camera. You would need this console that we were talking about, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes as well to actually manipulate the cameras if you have more than one. But you'll also need multiple ways to get that video signal into your computer, and there's all kinds of ways of doing that, even on the VidBlaster site. If you look in their forums, they will tell you how to hook up multiple cameras to your computer. Sometimes you need multiple USBs or a translator. I'm sure some of our listeners probably would have better ideas even how to do that as well. So there's lots of ways to do this, and I would really encourage congregations to think about these kinds of tools and trying to do more than just the one camera that some congregations are doing. It adds so much more interest, and if you're asking people to listen, you really need to put a good quality video stream out there and from different camera angles if possible. And we'll put some of that, more of that stuff on the wiki. Thank you from... Did we not get the name of the webmaster?
No,
or they wanted to be anonymous.
Just created an account and asked his question. But I will just offer a little bit of a techie disclaimer to the process Martin was just describing, and that is, if you're ever at one of these events where Martin or any of the web team are streaming video, beware of sitting behind them, because you may be more interested in the cool stuff they're doing on the TriCaster than on what's going on at the event, because it is really neat to watch. I've had that seat behind you guys a couple of times, and it's pretty amazing technology to witness. So, cool stuff.
Okay,
and one more thing. Yeah, I wanted to mention one more new page in our wiki, just as a response to really a multitude of questions that you and I both get on a regular basis, Martin, about how to get started with a church or school website. And we've put together just a preliminary list of ideas and links to get people started. I encourage you to check it out, maybe add to it if you have some additional ideas that would help in people get started with their church or school website. And we'll have a link to that in the show notes as well.
Very good. Once again, thank you to everybody who participates in the conversation here. It's so easy to do, and we would really encourage you to do it. If you haven't contributed or given us a comment yet, please do so. WellsTech.wells.net is the website. You can email us at WellsTech@wells.net. Join the Facebook group if you're on Facebook. We'd love to have all of our listeners there joining that group. Just search for WellsTech on Facebook. Anybody can join and begin a conversation there as well. We're looking at all those sources, and we get comments from all over the place in all kinds of different fashions and formats. Up next week, just a little bit of a preview, we have, and Sally, you mentioned a comment from John Shoesmith in our community feedback section. We interviewed John, and we are going to spend some time talking to him about closed captioning, and very relevant to web streaming, because John has seen some tremendous and very positive things happen as a result of closed captioning some of their sermons and services. They had been putting all of their sermons on YouTube, and or Google Video, and now they are able to close caption, and he's going to explain how to do that and how either hard or easy it is, depending on what you have available to you, and what a difference that makes as far as viewership. So I'm really looking forward to talking about closed captioning. There's so much to talk about there, and we're going to even increase the wiki a little bit by a page dedicated to closed captioning. Not many of our congregations are doing that.
Yeah, and I think you and I were both really excited to get to talk to John and just really impressed that he's willing to share his knowledge in this way. The wiki page is going to be full of links and great instructional information if you are interested in getting started.
Absolutely. Well, I think we've got another one in the can, Sally. That would be episode 54. Tune in next week for episode 55. Let's close the show as we always do. With a Wells featured artist, and that today is Wendy Sue Fleege, and from her album The Instrument, her song by the same name, The Instrument. Thanks everybody for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Is giving